Well, welcome to DWC, and we're so glad that you could join us for our podcast. We just want to open this time in prayer. Father, we want to say thank you for we can join together right here online, and we thank you that we can meet and encourage one another, even if it's only through the computer. Lord, we pray that you'd be with us again. Lord, we know that the year has been long, and we need your presence. We need your guidance. We need your calm. And Lord, that prayer is true of all of us. So I pray that in these next few moments, as we praise and as we worship and as we open your word, that you would meet every need and you challenge every heart. And Lord, that you would just encourage us as we focus on you. So Lord, thank you that regardless of what's going on in the world, that when we focus on you, everything else can grow dim. Well, Lord, we need you today. We pray. Be with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this first song that we're going to do is called This is Amazing Grace, just a powerful, powerful song about how God's grace is unfailing. Let's sing it out. That within you there is a song that is erupting as you listen to this. This is called Hallelujah, And again, just a song of praise. I hope it comes right from the bottom of your feet, right up through your voice. Let's sing it out. Amen. Well, this next song is talking about God coming to our rescue. And it's just one of those songs that encourages my heart each time I hear it. And I hope that it will encourage your heart today.
Falling on my knees in
Well, part of our hope as a believer is one day we will see that resurrection power. Let's sing it out. Regardless of where you are listening today, and regardless of what you are facing, that you'll be able to say amen to this next song, "It Is Well With My Soul."
Sorrows trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well.
We want to welcome you to the Digby Wesleyan Podcast, and I'm so glad that you could join us today. We've been working through spiritual warfare, and I want to say thanks for all the conversations that happen, you know, behind the conversation, all the emails, all the phone calls and things as we've talked about spiritual warfare. And it's been awesome to see so many people be encouraged by the spiritual truth. And you know what? I hope that it continues to do that even today as you tune in. Last week, we addressed some of the best tools when it comes to this idea of battling sin. All right, battling sin, we should embrace accountability. Right, I hope that you have those people who you are accountable to, that you can pray with, that you can be real with. We talked about forgiveness. Again, key in moving forward. We talked about knowing your identity. Right, who you are in Christ, and we talked about our obedience. And all those things, powerful, powerful tools when it comes to battling sin in our lives. Well, this week I want to encourage you in another principle that I hope we will see more and more in the church of today, and that's to choose courage over fear. You know, a lot of times we don't think about courage until it's called upon, right? Like, we know the war is already won, but then there are those moments when you are drawn into battles. And some battles you should be fighting, some battles you really should be praying about, but the reality is that we're called on them, and then is courage going to be there? Are we going to choose courage? Are we going to choose fear? And we're living in a day and age when fear is the thing that sells, right? We see it on the media. You can't tune in without hearing all the bad news. And we're supposed to really be worried about everything. Even now, it's amplified during this lockdown. Don't go anywhere. You're going to die. And it's amazing to me. So I've been feeling tired, not because I've been worried about a virus or I've been worried about vaccine. I haven't been worried about either of those things. I've just been kind of tired of all the changing regulations, right? You can go out. You can't go out. You can take two to a store. You can only take one to a store. And school's on, school's off. Even recording this instead of preaching it live is this frustration to me. And so a couple of weeks ago, I was feeling just frustrated, right? And I read this quote that really did my heart good. It said, if God allows a Goliath in front of you, it's because he sees the David within you. Ah, and I needed it that day. It really encouraged my heart. If God allows a Goliath in front of you, it's because he sees the David within you. And that truth speaks to so many levels of my life, but it reminded me that God has created me to be a warrior, right? And I've always loved that story of David and Goliath. You know, here's this giant, right? 9'9", most scholars say, right? This mountain of a man, and he calls out the armies of God saying, send me a champion and we'll do battle to try to save lives type of thing. And I was thinking about that. Who was the best physical specimen to fight Goliath? We all know it was King Saul. Like, even in the choosing of Saul as king, which is stated in 1 Samuel 9, you can go back and read that if you want. It was said that he was a handsome man and that he stood a head taller than all the others. So who was best suited to go fight their biggest warrior? Well, it was the king himself. He was the biggest feller, right? And yet, nobody wants to go face the giant because everybody is fearful. And then all of a sudden, here comes this teen, right? David comes along and he says, hey, this guy's defying God. I'm going to go fight him. And I'm going, wow, that's amazing to me, because when the best warriors of Israel saw a giant, David saw God. And really, isn't that what we're supposed to do as believers, right? We get drawn into these battles, and instead of, you know, seeing the ways that we could be defeated or hurt or whatever, we should be seeing the victory that God has already won. So what do you see when the battle is in front of you? Or maybe a better question is, whom do you see? Right, when it comes to spiritual warfare, we know that God has already won. Like, the war is over, but the battle is in front of us. Another thing that I see too, as a leader in the Christian world today, is I see some Christians, and this is a pet peeve of mine, but we see some Christians going into war in arenas that I think they never were called to be in. Right, so Christians who have this war cry, and that's coming out of their mouth before they've spent any time in prayer on any given issue, and that kind of it bothers me a little bit. Like it's this, I'm going to die on that hill, and you hear that, and you know what? But have you prayed about those hills? Because I see a lot of people in the church who die foolishly, proclaiming spirituality, and really what they're doing is they're making the bride or the groom look silly. And so, you know, whatever battle is before you, I'm hoping that you are a person of prayer, that you go into that cautiously and with prayer. And if the Lord is telling you to go confront the giant, then yeah, choose courage, right? But there are some wrong arenas that we find ourselves in, where we find ourselves on some of the wrong battlefields. And that is just a caution to the church today, because there's a lot of times where brothers or sisters are doing stuff and they do it in the name of God. And to be honest, I don't see God in it, right? Like know what and who you are lending your voice and your energy to, right? Know who and what you're lending your energy to, you know? And a simple test for that is Israel. Like, I mean, if you know the word of God, when they let God lead the way into battle, they were successful. But when they went on their own, not so much, right? So when you come to a battle, the first thing I hope you do is you pray and you pause and you ask for God's leading. And if you know God is leading you, then of course choose courage over fear, right? But his hand should be upon those moments and those issues. And if he's in front of you, you won't be stopped, right? But if he's not, then we so many times look foolish in the church, again, when we're found in the wrong arenas. I was thinking of Acts 5. And you see Peter being questioned, you know, for teaching in the name of Jesus. And the Pharisees want that stopped. Of course, some of you know that history, again, in Acts 5. And then all of a sudden, there's this one Pharisee named Gamaliel. And he speaks up, and this is found in Acts 5. It starts at verse 38. He makes this statement. He says, "Leave these men alone. Let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it'll fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God." And I think of the wisdom of even that statement in that moment, right? We need to be careful what earthly wars we get pulled into, because, again, I want you to know that this world is not your home, right? So if the battle is of human nature, then I think we ought to be cautious. Like, we should be allowing God to lead in every battle, shouldn't we? Right? And so that would be something that I would say you should be asking yourself before you jump into any cause, that you should be sure that God is leading the way, that he is going before you. And when it's of God, guess what? You've got nothing to fear. So there's where your confidence should come from, and our boldness should be coming from the throne room of God. And if we have to call upon ourselves in any way, shape, or form to grab some of those characteristics, then I would say, whoa, be careful, right? But when God calls us to battle, we know that the war is already won, and we should be living accordingly, right? Told time and time again, fear not, right? And I hope believers grasp that truth. You know, Kirtland and I were having this great conversation this week about vaccines. And, you know, there's this big push in Canada now for everybody to be vaccinated. And so, you know, we've been kind of talking about that. It's amazing how many people in our country right now are living in fear, right? But the principle of a believer is we're to fear not. And so I find that a fascinating debate in this, is that we've got people who are saying, are you scared of the vaccine? And I can honestly say, no, I'm not scared of the vaccine. But the reality is I've never been scared of the virus either. Right? Like, there's how I live my life. There has been no fear in this whole issue. There's been some frustrations, absolutely, and it's been because of regulations, but it hasn't been because of fear. And there's the difference of the presence of God in your life, right? That freedom that comes in His presence, it's palpable. You can feel it. it's touchable, right? And that changes everything. And so as a believer, I hope that even in these strange times that you've been living in the presence of God, right? And there, when you live in that presence, you don't need to seek boldness because it's already within you. It already surrounds you, right? You hopefully don't need to pause long to seek direction because His presence is actively leading you. Right. So again, there's another caution. If God's presence, you know, if His direction isn't within you, then you should pause and get a hold of that, because God is that compass that shows you where you need to go. And again, that presence changes everything. Right. There's the confidence that comes with His presence. There's an assurance that comes with His presence. There's direction that comes with His presence. And again, with that comes courage and understanding. Oh, I was thinking about this idea of a time in my life when, you know, there was courage when it didn't make logical sense. And this is one of those spiritual stories that absolutely makes some people feel uncomfortable. I get that. But it was at Catons Island, and it would be in the 90s. I was there helping run youth camp for our district. And of course, I was a counselor, and I was helping run it. So I was kind of wearing two hats there. And I always got the same group of teens, right? It was the teens that nobody else wanted to deal with. And most of them, which was kind of funny in hindsight, not like ha-ha funny, but peculiar funny, they were coming from pastors' homes. And so I always had this place in my heart for these kids, because they were frustrated with the church, and I totally understood that. They had saw hypocrisy all of their lives, or some of them felt like the church had taken away the best of their parents from them, right? That there was always, the church is the thing that took away my dad or my mom. And so it was kind of interesting. They always wanted to fight, but I didn't see it as an attack on me. So I would always get the same group of kids year after year after year. And it was interesting, because these kids, as they started to grow up, you know, life started to force them to make big decisions. And it was one of those moments when I knew that this was a week of spiritual battle. And again, camp is always that. I hope if you're a counselor, if you work with teens, that you always go into those things praying. If you volunteer with teens, be praying about every night, because every night is an opportunity. But I had seen this building for years, right, in these particular kids. And this week, the conversations were incredible. There was so many struggles. You could tell that they were looking for direction, and it was a big week in their lives. And about midweek, after we'd had some of these big talks and these huge battles had already taken place, there was this night, and we stayed up late, and we were talking about spiritual things. And all of a sudden, finally, you know, the last one kind of fell asleep, and I was going, oh, thank you, Jesus, because I just needed to grab some sleep myself. And I had just kind of started to fade off when it was about 3 a.m., and all of a sudden I could hear this one kid gasping. And I look up, and there floating above one of the other teens is this white, crazy, transparent-looking thing with glowing red eyes. And the kid was just, he was freaking out in fear. Like, his gasps are what woke me up. And so I look up, and I was in my 20s at this point. And you know what? It should have been something that filled me with fear, but it wasn't. In that moment, I was so filled with boldness. And I'm looking at this thing, and what comes out of my mouth, I just look up and I say, get out! And this thing looked at me, and then all of a sudden it fled right through the wall. Like, it just went right through the wall. And at this point, all the kids, when I had said get out, when I commanded it to get out, all the kids woke up, because I said it with such authority. And they all saw this thing flee. And I'll tell you what, it was a crazy night. And all of a sudden, the kids, like, they were crying and they were freaked out, and they said, ah. So anyway, we prayed, and it was amazing. That moment in that night, they realized that the battle for their souls was real, right? And everything changed. But what amazed me in hindsight is you know, in a 20-something-year-old, I should have been filled with fear, but I wasn't. right? It was not a moment of terror by any stretch of the imagination. I was filled with boldness. I was filled with courage. And it wasn't even a second thought, but there was the presence of God, right? I had been seeking God as I had been, you know, talking with these kids, and we've been throwing those life questions back and forth and eternity questions back and forth. And the presence of God was so real there that I felt offended that anything demonic would even be in our presence, right? And so, wow, I was going, this was a crazy night. And again, you can go back, you know, even those boys, I'm thinking of that night changed everything. The presence of God changed everything. There was direction found. There was confidence found. There was assurance found. There was courage found. There was understanding found. And it was all in the presence of God, right? There was no room for fear that night. And I think about that, and I go, that's the truth. There's no room for fear in the presence of God. Like Jesus demonstrated that authority, right, as he walked through his earthly ministry, right? And we see the things that Jesus did, the things that were recorded. And of course, they're recorded in the Bible, but even recorded in other writings, right? Historical writings. And Jesus was the one who promised us that we would do even more. So think about that. John 14:12 is when Jesus is talking about that. He says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing." Think about that. That we could do the works that we read about Jesus doing. And he goes further, he says, "And they will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father." Think about that. That's amazing to me. That's the power of the presence of the Holy Spirit within us. And it changes everything. Like, why did Jesus make that statement, "Because I'm going to the Father"? Well, for those of you who may be new to the church, when Jesus went to be with the Father, we have this thing that we celebrate. It's called Pentecostal Sunday. It was actually last week, right? It's that time when the Holy Spirit came to the church, came to believers, and we became the temple, the dwelling place of God Almighty. That's why when I say God lives within you, that's that moment that's significant to the church, that moment that we celebrate, right? You think of those special days like Christmas and Easter, but Pentecost is one of those special days as well. Like I think about it this way, Christmas was God with us, right? We talk about that, Emmanuel, that's what we celebrate, Christmas, God with us. Easter is when God was for us. Right, when God took upon himself the punishment and death, and he conquered those. And then, of course, Pentecost is when God is in us. Like, God Almighty within. That's incredible. And when God is within you, when he is, when you become that dwelling place, there is no room for fear. And that's why I want to talk about that today, that this reality church is that we can and should choose courage over fear. Like, you got to hear Jesus on that, right? He says, "You will do even greater things than these." That's incredible to me. In Matthew 28:18, the Great Commission, Jesus tells us, right, he had been given all authority in heaven and earth. So if he had been given all authority in heaven and earth, and then he says, "You're going to do greater things," how much authority do we have? If he had all authority in heaven and earth, we're going to do greater things. There's that kind of power and authority lives within you. In Colossians 2:15, I thought this verse was kind of cool too, but it was saying this of Jesus, says, "Having disarmed the powers and the authorities, he," Jesus, right, "he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross." So again, we think of the work, the war that Christ has already won on our behalf. And now, the presence of God living within us, Jesus was the one who said, "Guess what? Be ready for greater things." Why in the world would we ever fear? Right? And I hope that if you get anything today in this fear-filled world, that you would understand that truth, that you do not need to fear, that great things are yours, right? Be focused, because great things in these days are going to be yours, right? We're made to be spiritual powerhouses. Another passage that I was thinking of this week is found in Ephesians 1. Ephesians is one of those books that's so challenging and awesome, but it gives us so much insight. Starting to read at verse 18, it says, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened." That's how it starts off. Well, why? why would our hearts need to be enlightened? He goes on to say, "In order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people." Okay, well, what is that glorious inheritance? Well, in verse 19, he says, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. The power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in this present age, but also in the one to come. Think about that. Like, great things are awaiting us, right? An incomparably great power is ours, it says. That same mighty strength that conquered the grave is yours. It's far above all rule. It's far above all authority. It's far above all dominion of any name that has ever been invoked in this age and the age to come. It awaits you greater things. Greater things. Like, that's the presence of God in our life. Do you have that today? Right? Do you have that confidence? Nothing to fear. Do you have that boldness? Do you have that direction? Right? To be anxious about nothing. And when we humbly receive his presence, right, all attention goes heavenward. Right? Like, again, when you truly, that kind of power, you go, wow, that could be dangerous. Yeah, you see it in the church all the time. But we need to know the source of those good things. Right? That authority and that power, it's absolutely his, but it's available to you, right? And so how do we keep that from getting out of hand? We need to know, like here's what I have to tell myself. Andrew's never going to move a mountain, but I've seen mountains move because God moves mountains. I know that Andrew didn't move them, right? That's why they became the issues, whatever the issue was that I was praying about, it became a matter of prayer because Andrew was powerless, but I've seen mountains move because God has moved them. Right? Andrew will never be able to heal anyone, but I've seen people healed. Because again, God does that. Right? Andrew doesn't give the battle cry and lead the way because that's God's position. That's God's choice. That's God's responsibility, right? And so it's kind of amazing when we put all of that into perspective. I understand that I don't know which battles are right and wrong, which arenas I should be in. So how do I know? Well, my first step is knowing that I don't know. Like, Andrew doesn't know, and that's why I need to be paying attention. Andrew doesn't have that authority because it's way above his pay grade, right? So letting God lead, then all of a sudden, there's success, right? Letting God lead and me being obedient, then that's followed by success. Like, that's the beauty of the presence of God, and that's what changes everything. So who's leading you? And it, you know, depending upon who's leading you, then you will live accordingly, right? So if you find yourself anxious or unsure or fearful, then again, the question is, who's leading you? Because you should live accordingly. And the more we are able to surrender to our heavenly authority, the more that we are able to wait upon heaven, then all of a sudden, that direction becomes very, very clear. And we can choose courage over fear. You know, one of my pet peeves in this whole idea of power, because we're talking about power is a very intoxicating thing, and it can really mess a lot of people up. Leaders in ministries get into trouble when they get out in front of God's presence, right? Like, we kind of already talked about that. If the Israelites let God lead the way, then there was success. But if they got out ahead of God, well, then it usually ended in disaster. And I see that in the earthly ministries of today, too, right? That we need to be sure that we are traveling the road that God has asked us to travel, and then success comes, right? And I look at that, like, it's got to be God's leading, and Jesus is a great example of that too. Like, he didn't sell one book, right? He didn't have any podcast. He didn't rent out the Colosseums and have great revival services. He was never caught in a scandal, but it's because he was always letting heaven lead. Right? So he always had that perspective. And that's a beautiful thing. And so even though, you know, there's so many reasons why the man and the ministry of Jesus Christ should have been forgotten, here we are still talking about him and how he's changed the world. And that's because he always acknowledged where that power came from. Right? He was always waiting upon the Father. He was always waiting upon the leading. Like, even when he's praying in the garden, not my will, God, but yours be done. Woo! like that's pretty big. And I think of those ministries that get into trouble. Like, there's always those flags, those red flags that you should have seen. You know, when leaders or denominations need to have their names in bright lights, well, then that should be a flag to us. Like, when an individual or a denomination becomes the focus, then we should take pause, because there's only one name that should stand above all names, right? Or when ministries feel the need to tear down other ministries, I don't know if you've ever seen that, but that's another pet peeve of mine. It makes me so sad when I hear preachers tearing down other ministries, criticizing even other ministries. That should be a flag to us. Like, we've got enough truth to focus on. Why do we feel the need to scrape in garbage, right? Or even this, and you know what? Am I against manifestations when, you know, when heaven manifests itself on earth, when we see some incredible things like miracles? No, I love those moments. But when manifestations are the focus instead of the author of those manifestations, I think we've lost our way, right? That should be a flag to us. Like, I've been invited to many meetings, and it kind of always starts out the same way, the invitation that makes me kind of throw it in my mouth a little bit. And they'll say, Andrew, you got to come and see what's happening in these meetings. You got to see what's happening. You won't believe it. And I take pause, because, you know what, the presence of God shouldn't be dependent upon what I see, right? If the invitation is, Andrew, you got to come and experience the Lord tonight, because he's pouring himself out on these meetings, that might be different, but it's always, Andrew, you got to come and see what's taking place, right? I don't know. His presence is way bigger than my sight. He's way bigger than any of my senses. And I'm not opposed to those physical manifestations. I love it when it's happening. But my faith shouldn't be dependent upon those manifestations. Do you know what I'm saying today? Right? To me, some of those ministries that seem to be physically based, like we're not going to stop until all of a sudden we see this physical thing happen. I don't know. I just think the presence of God is so much bigger than just those physical manifestations. And his presence doesn't need to be seen. It's already known, right? I don't need proof. I live there. And so I guess those are just some of my cautions when it comes to this power, because if you don't keep that in check and understand that authority always comes from heaven, then we get into trouble. Right, so we need to let God lead us. And if you're unsure if God is leading in any moment or anything that you may be involved in, I would say stop and do some praying about that. Make sure that you're in the right arena. Make sure that you're in the right battle. Because when he leads, guess what? His presence will be unmistakable. His peace will be assured. His boldness will follow, all of those things, right? So then you know you're in the moment that God has called you to. And then show courage, right? 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Like, there's a verse that should just remind us that we can choose courage every time over fear. John 17:23, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and that you have loved them even as you have loved me, right? Again, this idea of love, but Jesus is talking about that unity between him and heaven, and that we can have unity together as well, right? And then all of a sudden, there's courage. That's the presence of God, right? We're unified. We're unified with our brothers and sisters and unified with heaven. Well, guess what? That's a recipe for success. John 15:4-5, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself, but it must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So again, right? Found in God, he is leading. We bear fruit, right? Apart from him, you can do nothing. But I believe we're living in this time, guys, where we can see some incredible fruit, greater things. You know, it's Jesus who promised it, greater things. That if we would choose courage, the more that we do that, then the easier that becomes, because we're living in the presence of God, we're going to experience greater things. And then I hope that we would embrace those greater things, right? And we would bask in the glory that goes to God in those moments, that it's a beautiful and amazing place to exist. All right. So my hope is that you would be found choosing courage over fear in all the battles that are ahead. And again, the presence of God would be so over you that, you know, direction would not be an issue. that God would be leading because God would be filling. Does that make sense? I hope it does. Well, listen, I want to pray for you today. Let's do that together. Lord, I want to say thank you for this time and for this moment again when we can get together. I know it's not ideal. I wish that we could be meeting face to face. Lord, I miss so many of my brothers and sisters in Christ, and it's just that physical time. Lord, we're still talking, we're still chatting, and Lord, I encourage everybody to phone who needs maybe a word of encouragement. But Lord, I just want to say thank you for family. And I want to say thank you that we can come together, even if it's only over the computer right now. But Lord, to share these truths as iron sharpens iron, I pray that you would be preparing us to be the spiritual warriors that you have called us to be. And I pray that your leading would never be in question because we would be so focused on your filling. That God in us, right? That we would know what roads we are to travel, that we would know what arenas we are to enter, that we would know what battlefields we are to walk upon. And Lord, you would help us to live in that realm of greater things, that there would be so, courage would just be second nature, God, in us, that we would be courageous, that there would be no question. When the battles arise, we know when to fight. And Lord, that we would fight with courage and there would be no place for fear. There'd be no room for fear. So Lord, I pray that that would be our reality because the battles, they wage on. Lord, we're so grateful that you've already won the war, but I pray that you would allow us that success that awaits us, Lord, in the right battles and that your leading and your filling would be complete in us. So thank you, God, for what you're doing. I pray that you would continue to do it within us. We love you. And we crave your presence. So thank you for all that you are. Continue to fill us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, guys, I want to say thank you so much for joining us again this week. I know it's not ideal. We've kind of got this plan in Nova Scotia that's five phases. Churches seem to come around to phase three, three and four, near the end of this whole rollout again. Sadly, they didn't give us many numbers. So when can we meet again physically? They're being very unclear about that, but I want you to know that that's okay. You know what? We're going to do our best to live at peace with all those who are over us. And I want you to be praying for your leaders. I want you to be praying for one another, and that's in the church and certainly in our government, right? Whether you agree with our government or not, I want you to be praying for our leaders because that's what you're called to do. So God bless you and have an encouraging week. We hope to see you again next week. Take care and God bless.